Good music this morning. Thank y'all. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Title of the message is Your Center of Peace. We hear a lot about trials and troubles and things that happen in people's lives, many of your lives. Life is somewhat of a roller coaster. It goes up and down. And sometimes things are really good, and other times we're trying to figure out where we get our next breath from, right? But all those things can be quieted if you have a center of peace. And so this morning we want to look at the scriptures and what our Lord has to say about the peace and His promise that He gives us His peace in the times in which we live, which nothing is new under the sun to our Lord. He's seen it all and will continue to see it and already has seen it by looking into the future. So Matthew chapter 8, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word if you're able. Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. Now the Lord has dropped into the middle of this. He has been preaching and teaching and healing and performing other miracles. And so we drop in here to verse 23. It says, When he got in a boat, his disciples followed him, which was common for our Lord to do, to have some rest away from all of the crowds. Verse 24, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? You may be seated. Now, this is probably a familiar scripture to many of you, if not most of you. And we look at it and we looked at the fact that the Father, as we know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all one, yet they are separate. God incarnated into human flesh was Jesus Christ. God and Spirit is the Holy Spirit that, if you know Jesus Christ personally, lives within your heart in your Holy of Holies. And we also realize that God is the creator of all things, despite what fairy tales man wants to tell, okay? And he tells us this in Psalms 115 and verse 16. It says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So he is over all things. He has allowed us since Genesis, and with Adam, he looked at all the things he made, and he said he put the earth itself under man's control, that man was to name the animals, man was to have the fruit of the lands, to enjoy all of the creation that God had made. No matter where you go in this world, if you look, you will find some form of beauty in all of the countryside. That includes West Texas. I can say that. I grew up there. You will never see a more beautiful sunrise or sunset than you do in West Texas, because you can see it from the first little gleam. There's nothing to inhibit your vision. And you can see it all the way down till it just goes down, because again, there's nothing to inhibit your vision. Okay, the trees may not grow tall there. There may be other things that you don't like, the dust in your eyes, and you don't like all this other about it, but I assure you, That is the most beautiful sunrise and sunset that I have seen all across this nation. It's wonderful in the hill country, but the hills do prohibit you from seeing it. You can watch the sun. If you really are a solar watcher, you can see it all the time. Not even inhibited by clouds most days, because it don't rain out there, okay? And so those beauties that God has made, whether in West Texas or in the beautiful hill country or the Rockies, and we see the grandeur. As you travel our nation, you see the things that God has created. Oftentimes we call them wonders of the world. They're not a wonder. God is an artist. He presents them, and He made them. Everything from the Grand Canyon to the oceans and all of the different species that He created that are there. My wife and I were talking this weekend, kind of watching a show there had come on. We were getting ready to go out and mend some fence and all. Anyway, while we were getting dressed, it was on there, and they were talking about all the different breeds or flavors, if you will, of frogs. I can't remember, it's 254 or something like that, and how they went from a tadpole to having legs and a big belly and start croaking. And you know, it was kind of interesting to see it. But they were talking about that now what's the problem is that most of the tadpoles coming out are female. They're not seeing the males. And I thought, you know, we made the comment, well, if man had quit messing with it, God takes care of it. You're not going to go extinct. But we always try to handle it and make things worse, right? So back to where we are, we worry about a lot of things that, quite frankly, we have zero control over. Nothing. There's nothing we can do about it. We get an illness, we go to a doctor that tells us what the illness is. If he tells us that illness is terminal, they're going to try things to extend your life, but they can't reverse it. You see, there are things we have no control. Matter of fact, the very moment that we are born, we begin to die. Right that instant. It is by God's grace if we live, as Scripture tells us, 70 years, and anything past that is a blessing. Some, as we know, are taken soon. Some live for years. There is no reason or why other than God's discernment. He's sovereign. And so here in Matthew, we get the description of understanding in the physical part. So you're going to get a little Bible study this morning. But in the physical part, we see that the ocean, a wind comes up, just like we have storms blow up, and suddenly everything is getting tossed. And here they were out on the sea, and the boat begins to toss back and forth, and the waves are lapping over the boat. And yet, there's Jesus enjoying a restful sleep from a hard day of, you know, performing miracles and teaching and preaching and talking to people. And, you know, as much as I enjoy people, there's a time I just like to be by me. So I don't have to hear anybody. You know, believe it or not, I do turn the phone off sometimes, okay? Just because I need to be alone. And Jesus is enjoying that. And His disciples awake Him and say, Lord, how can you sleep? Do you not care if we perish? And I want you to think about that for a minute. You're awakened from peaceful sleep. You know, Mater over here is dreaming of having pork chops and barbecue and things like that. Into an immediate, we're about to perish. Now, notice what Jesus says to them. Notice the words that He replies back. He says in verse 26, why Are you fearful, O you of little faith? I want you to look why Jesus can say that. Song you sang about the cross, all that he endured. That same center of peace in his life carried through all the way, even into the tomb. He was assured that the Father would do exactly what he said, that he would raise him from the dead in 3 days. He says, O ye of little faith, why are you fearful? Understand, we saw Psalms. It says that he's given, that he is the creator. He owns all of the heavens, and he has lent his creation of earth to man. You and I are not in control of our lives. Now, we may think we are. We may think we know what's going to take place. I got news for you. You don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. Neither do I. How many times have we seen people who start out on a journey, they're just going to grandma's or down the street, maybe to even pick something up at the grocery store, and suddenly they're in a head-on collision, and they pass. Or maybe they have a heart attack watching the show. Kick back in the recliner, relaxing. There's so many things that can happen in our lives. We do not own it. We have been granted the time that God gives us. And if you're His, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you know Him personally, why are you fearful? This is a temporary spot. See, Paul and the other disciples, Peter and them, when they were in prison and Silas was there, they looked that it didn't matter what was done to them, because even if it cost them their lives, that meant they got to go home. When you've been out on the road on a long trip, or whatever it is, for whatever reason, isn't it always nice to go back to your own home? You know, in my travels, I've stayed in some places that weren't really great hotels, and I've also stayed in the 5-star hotels. But ain't no place like home. Ain't no place like my own bed, my own pillow. There's no place like home. And you see, for you and I, as a Christian, this is not our home. This is a spot in the road, a resting place. Yes, we can enjoy and get blessings that God gives us through the things that we have, and they're just that. They're things. Jesus tells us that we should first look to the kingdom of heaven. That's not just looking, but concentrating about heaven. You see, when you and I concentrate on heaven and we come to that understanding that I'm not in control, I am simply God's vessel and He is free to do whatever He wants with me and with anything that He's blessed me with, that question that Jesus asked Him, why are you fearful? You didn't go make all this stuff and earn it. God blessed you with it. It's His to give. It's His to take away. Poor old Job, we know, he gives us that as a demonstration. Job lost everything, but yet God replenished it because of His faithfulness 100 times more. And Jesus follows that up and He says, O you of little faith. In Matthew also, Jesus says, why do you worry? I know nobody in here would ever worry about anything, would you? None of us would ever be a worry wart. You ever wonder why that comes up? Where that saying came from? Research it sometime. Because you worry so much, it begins to wart you up like a wart. You get all crinkly because you're just consumed with it. And ain't nothing worse than a wart, right? It just bothers you. says, why do you fear? You see, if our faith is founded, we spend time, and in talking about faith, we spend time day in and day out with our Lord. We begin to learn of His characteristics. He tells us that His thoughts are not our thoughts. We think, oh, it sure would be nice to have this or have that. That's not His thoughts. His thoughts are, this servant, this child of mine has done well, and I want to bless them with something. Sometimes you and I, at the moment that we receive it, don't realize that it's a blessing. But a little bit down the road, we find out it was just what we needed in that time. You know, sometimes you have impending deals that, got one of our commissioners here where they're going to have to discuss something, and there's probably times that Jerry Don sits there and thinks, now, exactly how am I going to say nicely what I really think and get my point across? That it really makes an impact. All of us have been there. But when we have our center of peace wrapped around God, His Holy Spirit does just that. You suddenly go to open your mouth, and what you plan to say isn't what comes out, but you kind of set off there to the side sometimes. It's like you come out of yourself and you listen to that and you go, that dude talking's pretty smart. Where did he come from? Because it sure wasn't what I had planned. See, our whole world, if you think about it, the biblical part of this, yeah, we see the physical part, that He's the Creator. He could speak. The wind shut down. The waves stopped. That's the physical part. But what's the spiritual part? That's what He spoke of, and He said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? They've been with Him and seen Him, yet they do not fully understand His character. He's not a man. He's God in the body of man. He can speak and the winds will shut down. The very last of this verse said they talked among themselves going, who is this dude? Even the winds and the sea obey Him. Well, He created them. It's kind of like when y'all write a song. Old Danny and Debbie write a song. If you don't like what comes out and think, you know, that ain't good. You're the author. You can change it. And that's exactly what God is. He is the author. He can change it. Scripture shows us by the potter. The potter can remake it. Just like He wants to be the vessel that He wants. And that's what He does with us. So He's puts the spiritual part of this, not about the physical wind or the physical waves of the sea. He says, why do you fear? Our world is consumed with fear. From political ads to everyday ads to hearing the news, it's all about fear. We drive our world and our people based on a fear of what if. Y'all all remember COVID, right? Changed our world. We had a whole world fearful of getting COVID. And oh, we've got a vaccine that'll work. Some of you took it, some of you didn't. That's your choice. That's between you and the Lord. That's the way I looked at it. And I do believe that. But yet now, suddenly our vaccine, we're finding, had a lot of side effects that's affecting people really bad. We were so afraid of the disease, we now have something worse. Y'all ever watch those commercials that tell you about the new pharmacies? Oh, it will make you lose weight. It'll make you do these things. And then if you listen to the very end, possible side effects are death, loss of sight, brain damage, heart attack. And you're going, I can live with a little dry eye compared to that, okay? I can live with a little allergy on me rather than having my arm eaten off. And so Ozempic is the big thing. I know a guy right now, he took it. Yeah, he was overweight, wasn't bad. But he took that thing, and now what has happened, because he lost the weight over 80 pounds so quick because of Ozempic, the cushion in there in his leg, that nerve that goes right below your knee that takes your foot, he drags that foot. He no longer has control. Now they're going to try to do surgery to put some type of silicone or implant in there so he doesn't rub that nerve raw that makes it shut down. You know, nerves are funny when they get mad. They just shut you down, right? Okay, preacher, why are you telling all this? He's so worried about losing weight or whatever it is that you're concerned with. We don't see down the road. We see it right in front of us. And yet the results can even be worse. I don't know about y'all. I'd rather carry a little few extra pounds and have to drag a foot around because I got no control over it or not. You wait till you can't walk, you'll find out how important them legs are. He said, why are you fearful? And I see people in a lot of walks of life, been there myself. And it finally had the understanding with my Lord, my center of peace is not dependent upon that sea. My center of peace is dependent upon my relationship with Him. If He takes me home this afternoon, I go to be with my best friend, my Lord, my Savior. Oh, I'll miss my family. I'll miss all of you. But guess what? Y'all are coming too at some point in time. Doesn't mean we don't have sorrow. David writes it this way in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No evil. Because you see, in God's home, there is no evil. Scripture tells us there's no more tears. There's no more aches or pains. You and I will have glorified bodies. Mater will even become pretty. Some things are hard to imagine, ain't they? I love him. I get to pick on him all the time. Yeah, your mama had the eyes of the Lord. She could see through it. But pick up on the second part of that. He says, O ye of little faith. See, the trials and the tribulations that you and I endure, as Paul says, I give praise for all things, because Paul come to that realization. I've seen it in my own life. Those hard times are really when I make me have to depend on Him, that I'm not in control. I have that realization. I can't fix it. Guys, that's hard for us, right? Because we're the fixer. Sometimes we try to fix it for our ladies, and all they need us to do is just listen and hold them. Because we can't fix it. And we can't have them fix it. The only one that can fix it is the Lord. And our faith grows through those trials and tribulations, those hardships, no matter how hard they are to bear sometimes. He does that if we'll draw close to Him and make Him our center of peace. You know what? That worry goes away, because we know who is in control. Paul wrote he was convinced that nothing, absolutely nothing, can ever separate us from the love of God. Our Heavenly Father loved us so much, and like that next to last song, that He loved us so much, He hung on that cross. He endured that pain. And I liked what you said, not for the people right then, but for all those in the future. Us. And those that come after us until He returns. The spiritual implication of this little part of verses here, these four verses that we see here, is we are living in the sea. Sometimes it's going to be calm and smooth sailing. Other times, she's going to be pitching and roaring beyond belief, just like we see the hurricanes. And yeah, the thought crosses our minds, oh Lord, we're going to perish. But in those same trials and tribulations, if we're centered in Him, we can have that peace inside. Hurricanes are something really unique, and I've looked at a hurricane, and it always reminds me how God says that nature will show His character. That hurricane comes through when them Cat 5s are bigger, that's not even on their scale, and that wind's raging all around it, and you get to see it. You know, God gave us radar where we can actually see His awesomeness, His glory. You see all of those bands all the way around it. That sucker is huge. And right in the center is clear sky. Waters are calm. There's no wind. There's no rain. There's no storm. That's your center of peace. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Why are you fearful? You see, our faith is based on that center of the hurricane. It's based on that calm. Turn, if you will, over to John chapter 14 for a moment. If you're a highlighter or a marker in your Bible, I would encourage you to mark John 14:27. Jesus says here, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What's His peace? They sang about it a while ago. His peace was to come and perform and share with us, as He walked on this earth, everything He had heard from the Father. He constantly said, "What I tell you is not of myself, but what I've heard my Father say." He says, "The things that I do are not of myself. They're things I've seen my Father do." He's always pointing to the Father. And yes, He was human form, but He also was God and man. He saw down through the times. He knew what it was if He was not obedient to the Father and went to that cross, that you and I would forever be separated. We wouldn't have an eternal home. Not in heaven. We would spend eternity in hell, separated from God. And knowing what He was fixing to endure, as He talked to those disciples, you read that last, from the triumphal entry to the point of His death and crucifixion, that last week, He knew what was coming. And some will say, well, if He was man, how could He know? How did He know to tell Peter, "You'll deny me three times before the cock crows"? See, that's not man, that's God. God knows exactly when He's going to take me home. God knows when He's going to take you home. God sees us from the cradle, and actually even before that, He tells us even before we were in our mother's womb, to the point that He comes home. That's how far He sees. And He knows. Full spectrum. And Jesus, because of being God in man, also understood what He was fixing to endure. That song said He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called one angel and whacked them all. God could have real easy said, "Tell you what, I just messed up. This is terrible. I'll wipe the whole human race out. And I'll start over, and this time I'll create ones that are perfect." But he gave you and I free choice. It isn't that we were made imperfect, we chose. And we still choose today. So you can live a life afraid and in misery and always seeming like it's chaotic. You may have even talked to people that tell you, I just can't seem to get settled. Every time it starts to get better, there's something else. It just disrupts my life. You want an undisrupted life? Make your center of peace Jesus Christ. Not this world. Jesus just said it in John. Look at what he said. I give you my peace. I can go to the cross. I can go to the tomb because I have a peace that my Father controls my destiny and will do what he said he will do. He will raise me from the dead, and in fact, I will come back for you. My sacrifice will cleanse you if you choose me. What is there to fear? Paul said it another way. I don't fear what man can do to me. He's not the ultimate authority, right? God's the ultimate authority. Where is your center of peace? See, that's the folks in the middle of tragedy can go, thank you, Jesus. I praise you. We hate losing loved ones, but he knows what's best. For whatever reason, I can ask him for some description and maybe to help me understand, but I can't mandate it. Sometimes I can't think that we can't mandate that and for him to give it to us because we can't understand it or comprehend it. And being stubborn, we probably wouldn't accept that as an answer anyway. Some of y'all probably grew up and you ask your mom or your dad, well, why? Because I said so. That was enough explanation. If not, the belt reinforced that it was enough explanation. Now, I've had a whipping from the Lord. I don't want another one. I'd rather get hit by my daddy 100 times more. Where is your center of peace? When you start letting the world come in there and influence your core, that's when you need to spend more time with him, because he will give you his peace, because he's the one in control. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes.